The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. We'll start today's show in the Premier League. Chelsea with the win against West Ham at Stamford Bridge, beating them by 3-0. Thiago Silva in the first half opening the scoring, then a brace for Tammy Abraham, giving Chelsea their first win in three. Here to discuss it, Don Hutchison, Frank LaBeouf and Craig Burley. Craig, Chelsea weren't particularly pretty, but they got the job done, which is something obviously they didn't do against Wolves in the previous match.
Yeah, they just had to get back onto winning ways, particularly as the top of that table is getting very concentrated now with all these teams up there. And, you know, back-to-back defeats, did not play well and didn't really play well tonight again. I mean, the 3-0 scoreline flatters them, but it's a result. Listen,
yeah.
But if West Ham had a bit more in the final third, which we know they don't have at the moment, things may have been different. So it was a result that was dug out. Yeah, the goals late on were bonuses, but for long periods, you know, this game was pretty even.
Frank, we talked, didn't we, after the defeats against Everton and Wolves, that Chelsea need to mature, they need to know how to win dirty. Did we see some of that more today?
Well, a little bit. We didn't see a lot. As Craig said, you know, we have to keep in mind that they got the 3 points and that's it. I think it's not really a fair result for the Hammers, because I think they maybe deserve a draw. You know, they were pretty good at the back. They conceded 2 goals. Chelsea was dismissed by the referee, fairly dismissed for me. And Thiago Silva was maybe the man of the match, scoring a goal, being strong in defensively. But I'm not happy with the forwards, was what I saw. But also in the middle of the park, I think there are some empty spaces. So much to say, but again, the fan will only keep the 3 points, and this may be the main things to get lately, because with the 2 defeats before, as you mentioned, you know, that's the only thing they needed.
God, what's wrong with you, Frank? They deserve to win, didn't they? West Ham didn't have a shot on target in the game.
No, but I mean, you only think about statistics. I watched the game, I understand
well,
the game.
Yeah, I know, there's and, statistics and there's statistics. And not having a shot on target would suggest your team doesn't deserve anything from the match.
No, it's not. It's not that simple. Football is more complicated than that. I think for an hour, Chelsea suffered on the field, and my two colleagues will back me up, I think, on that, where we saw a very strange way of playing after 20 minutes. They had they were leading the game for 20 minutes, and suddenly something happened, and the way of leading, the way changed dramatically. And I don't know why. I don't know why some players were in the run and didn't do the job. But I'm not happy with the way they play. I'm just happy for them for the result. That's it.
Don, Frank mentioned in there the strikers, Timo Werner now, what, no goals in 10. His worst run for 4 years. What's happened? You saw a lot of him in Germany.
Yeah, I think it's a case of him looking pretty tired, Dan, to be honest. I thought, you know, tonight he looked a little bit jaded out on that left-hand side. He was doing a lot of hard running as he normally does. He normally works incredibly hard, but now you sort of see him in the 18-yard box. He looks a little bit tired. There was one where he had an effort on his left foot and it was a sort of a scruffy little effort where he scuffed it straight down Fabianski's throat. Second half, he had the best chance on his right foot. He took a tired first touch, didn't take a particularly good one. Then it got away from him and he wrapped the crossbar. I just think you're looking at a guy at the minute who's struggling for a little bit of form.
The only part, Dan, of this Chelsea side that's picking itself at the moment when everyone's fit, and we know Reece James wasn't available, is the back four. We saw Chilwell take a knock again, so what that's going to mean for this weekend against Arsenal, I don't know. But if they're all fit and the goalie's fit, that's nailed on. The rest of it is a bit of an issue at the moment, and I don't want to over-egg that pudding because, you know, they've had a good win. But it is a bit of an issue in terms of the balance. I don't like Jorginho in there with Kante push forward again. I don't think they need it because Jorginho sits deep. Well, Thiago Silva can come out with the ball and pass the ball. And they can split the centre-halves that way. Kante can drop back in there and defend. So I don't like the two of them in the same side. I echo what Don said about Werner, but he's going to have to get over it. I mean, he seems the only one of the front three at the moment that's undroppable in terms of he seems to play all the time when available. I mean, Abraham's been in, Giroud's been in, Pulisic has been in and out, I know he's been injured. But Werner seems to be the constant, but he's lacking, it might be tiredness, but he looks as if he's lacking confidence to me as well. I mean, the finish was poor in the first half. The ball was delayed from Christian Pulisic. I thought it was a poorly timed ball, it should have went early. But that being said, he still had time to get it out of his feet. Then he had a great chance in the second half. The Abraham first goal was actually a horrendous shot from Timo Werner. So it's going to be really interesting come the weekend what Lampard's team selection is going to be, because that was far from fluent. And here he has an opportunity to go to the Emirates. I think the game's at the Emirates and really, trample on top of this Arsenal side that have been really weak recently. So his team selection is going to be really interesting.
Frank, I want to ask you about that first goal. Brilliant header by Thiago Silva. How do you defend that?
Well, definitely not like the Emirates did. And I think it's a tactical mistake for me. Always been, you know. I think you have to put more responsibility on the players when they have to mark their opponents, and which is not the case. It's a zone marking, so everybody takes his own zone and doesn't really care about the opponents. And we saw Bowen a little bit close to Thiago Silva, but he wasn't in zone when he came when he went forward, so he let it go. He let him go. And Thiago Silva was completely alone in the middle of two players. And, you know, when you go back to the dressing room, you cannot say to a player, you know, why did you do that? Why you didn't keep the marking on Thiago Silva? Nobody is responsible. So nobody is guilty. At the end of the day, everybody is. And even the coach, and mainly the coach. I think you should take your opponent on and make sure that he doesn't go forward. I mean, it's not the ball who's important. It's the opponent who's important. So just look at the opponent. Keep him close to you. Make sure that, not too much, but make sure he doesn't go to the ball. But if he doesn't touch the ball, he won't score. That's as simple as that. But if you do a zone marking, it's impossible to see that way of defending.
But there must be merits there for zonal marking, Don, because so many coaches do it. And to be fair, you know, this sort of goal from Thiago Silva isn't something we see, I suppose, that regularly. Or why don't we see it more then?
Well, a couple of things. Aaron Cresswell was at fault. He was the front screen for West Ham. And I've always been told when you're operating with a front screen and the first man has to be decent in the air, Cresswell's not particularly good in the air, so he got underneath the ball. And then Frank's right. When you're marking the big players coming in, you've got to get touch tight. You can't allow Thiago Silva and Zuma to get the run and jump on you, otherwise you've got no chance. So you get extra tight, you get underneath them. If they are going to beat you in the air, best case scenario for them is they're just going to knock a header down, just, you know, into absolutely no man's land, into nowhere. And they weren't tight enough, they weren't strong enough, and they got punished. But it stems from, in my opinion, Cresswell not being particularly good in the air, who was in that front screen trying to do that job, and it didn't suit him.
Let's take a look at what that result then means for Chelsea regarding their position in the league. Moving up the table after a couple of bad results. I've forgotten where they are in the table. Where are they? Fifth. Still a bit, though, off the pace with regards to Liverpool, who are the league leaders after that impressive victory against Crystal Palace. Who are their biggest challengers, Craig?
Who are Liverpool's biggest challengers?
Yeah.
City.
Really?
Don't think there's a doubt about it. I think City are clearly the biggest. They've had a slowish start. They're not walloping teams that they were, but they're way more solid at the back. And I think they're playing at sort of 85-90% at the moment. I mean, De Bruyne is not playing brilliantly in the middle of the park. They've been missing Aguero. So I think absolutely they are. But are you? Because I watched yesterday's show. And are you hedging your bets on, all of a sudden Man United are the team to watch sort of scenario? Because I think that's where you're heading with this.
I asked a simple question, Craig.
Let me tell you, last night, you asked an utterly stupid question last night on the show.
Which one?
Now, you've had 24 hours to think about it, but you asked the boys,
yep,
were you wrong about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer? Now, we're 14 games into the season. If you're Man United, we are 13 games into the season. That's a smidge over 33%. So to suggest that any of these right or wrong because of some early season form is absolutely ludicrous, because by the time we come out of this Christmas and New Year period,
the whole picture can have changed again. It can have changed again.
You know,
so I kind of wondered when you were going to get round to shoehorning it towards this, are Man United the biggest challengers debate? Because I can read your mind, son.
I asked a simple question, Craig, and for a man who never watches the show when he's not on, you seem well-versed in what, what happened yesterday. But he's exceeded your expectations, hasn't he, Solskjaer, to get them in this position?
Hold on. Have you just not listened to the last minute of what I said? How could you have exceeded anybody's expectations 13 games into a Premier League season? You may have noticed recently they've been bumped into the Europa League from the Champions League, right? So that's a black mark against his name. And don't focus all on yesterday's performance, because as clinical as it was, let me tell you, I have rarely seen a team with the talent of Leeds, and they have got some good players, be so tactically naive going away to one of the biggest clubs in the country and trying to tell arguably your best player, Calvin Phillips, who, by the way, is an England international, the young man, that wherever Bruno Fernandes goes in the field, you must follow him, thus leaving one of the biggest gaping holes I've ever seen in the middle of the park. And then, by the way, taking Phillips and his midfield partner off as a scapegoat for your horrendous tactics. So, in many ways, as good as it was for Man United, I have rarely ever seen a team play into another club's hands in the manner in which Bielsa did yesterday. So, enjoy it, but do not get carried away.
Don, who are Liverpool's biggest challengers?
Well, not Man City, they're 8 points behind. With a game in hand, so if they win that game in hand, five behind, they're giving Liverpool a head start. They can't afford to give Liverpool a head start of 5 points. I think it's Man United. At the moment, it was Tottenham last week. They find themselves at the top four.
Oh, my God, Don, are you trying to tell me these teams are better than Manchester City? Oh my.
No.
You've been on too many shows with Nico recently.
Hold on. What I'm trying to tell you is everyone's fighting for second position. Liverpool are miles better than anyone in the Premier League.
I knew it was Liverpool TV again. I knew it. I just knew it.
Well, can I give you a reason?
Well, I'm going to ask you something. I'll put it another way for you. Who has the most... And you've seen Tottenham recently, obviously, and Man United's inconsistencies. And Frank can chime in if he wants, but I think he's having a good chuckle at your answers here, Don. Who's the most likely Liverpool apart to put a really consistent run of games together?
Yeah, but you're asking that question because you're judging it on Man City last year and the year before. You're not judging it on what you're seeing from Man City now.
What, clean sheets for fun? Waiting for your top striker to come back? Your best player's not even playing well at the moment?
Not scoring any goals? Not really scoring?
Don, who's most likely to put a string of 6, 7, 8, maybe 9, 10 victories together? Man United, Man City or Tottenham?
Not Tottenham.
Man City.
I never really had Tottenham in it. I understand what you're saying about Man City because they have got the capabilities. But I don't see it, Craig. I see them losing too many games. I think they're well off it. You know, they've lost people like David Silva. Aguero's not fit. Leroy Sané's missed. I like them.
Leroy Sané's not there anymore.
And I know exactly what you're saying. And if you had said to me last season or season before, who could win 17 games on the spin, I'd go Man City all day long. Now I look at them, and I don't see them blowing teams away. All right, they've defensively sort of got better, but while the games are sitting at 0-0 and 1-0, they're always giving teams a chance.
So remind me here, because sometimes I'd come on these like, and I just can't remember.
Well, they're 8 points behind.
I'm being serious now. How did Liverpool get on at Fulham and Brighton recently?
They drew.
Right. So. What we're saying is there's some hope out there for a team to put a run together, because Liverpool are not perfection. As good as it was at the weekend, they're not perfection.
8 points clear of Man City, Liverpool. Eight.
Yes. And City have a game in hand. My point is, City are the best possession team to put a run of results together that may or may not put pressure on the leaders, Liverpool, who have dropped points quite a lot this season on the road, right? Not at the weekend, because they were ruthless, but they have before, and they've got a heavy
next
schedule.
Two games,
I don't really see where you're coming from.
Liverpool's next two games, West Brom and Newcastle. Every chance they're going to win them both. Both of them games, yeah. Going to win them.
All right, and that's the league over.
It's not the league over. It's not the league over. But I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be giving Liverpool an 8-point head start or more.
Let's bring Frank in. Frank, who are Liverpool's biggest challengers?
I will go with Craig. I will go with, for Manchester City. I think it's the only team capable of catching up and getting some good results to put Liverpool in danger. Liverpool lost some games, stupid games. I think Aston Villa, how much was the result?
Yeah.
You know, it happens. It can happen during the season. And like 3 weeks ago, we say Chelsea can be the contender. Then 2 weeks ago was Tottenham can be the contender. The last week was yesterday was Manchester United. We don't talk about Manchester City, but if we all look at all the strength of all teams that we have, the only team for me right now we can catch up because of the history of the club late the history from last year and the year before and the players that they have, they are the only one for me who make me think that they can catch up Liverpool. Of course, they will need Liverpool to drop points, of course. But they will. They will, be like any other clubs.
So this invincible Man City that's going to put a run together, lost 5-2 against Leicester, drew 1-1 against West Ham, and drew 1-1 against Leeds. But they're going to win 10 on the spin.
No, but we're saying Liverpool are not exactly perfectionists at the moment either. They've had the big loss at Villa. They did lose points at Brighton. They did lose points and didn't play well at Fulham. This is far from perfection for Liverpool either. That's the point. And City are the best position team in terms of their squad, with players to come back without even playing well to go and challenge. Listen, I'll tell you one thing. I will stand corrected if it's not in no particular order Liverpool and City as the top two at the end of the season. We've seen flashes from the others, like Chelsea, like United, and I suppose if you can call it a flash, like Tottenham. But, you know, City have the pedigree within that squad to pounce on any potential mistakes that maybe Liverpool will have with injuries. Let's not forget, this is a Liverpool side that are going to have to go through the bulk of the season still and this hefty Christmas and New Year period without the best defender on the planet in Virgil van Dijk. Now, they've managed on occasion pretty well up to now, but it's a long old season, as you know. So you're almost crowning Liverpool champions here, Don, when we've only 13 or 14 games in. And there's 24 matches left to be played. That's a heck of an amount of points. Now, you and Nicol, if you want to do your own show, you and Nicol, get a sort of YouTube channel or something, I'll pitch it to our boss. I'll pitch it to him if you want just to do a Liverpool segment.
Will you change your mind if you see Man City drop points over the next couple of weeks?
Well, that depends what Liverpool do.
Well, I've just told you, they're going to beat West Brom and they're going to beat Newcastle.
There you go.
Let's see.
Is that not going to happen?
Just a reminder, more of this sort of nonsense over on our YouTube channel. The boys answering your tweets on Extra Time. Be sure to check that out.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It has been a miserable season so far for Arsenal, currently sitting 15th in the table. Mikel Arteta talking about their recent run of form. Said last year we won against Everton with a 25% chance of winning. You win 3-2. Last weekend it was a 67% chance of winning any Premier League game in history and a 9% chance of losing. And you lose 3% against Burnley and you lose 7% against Spurs and you lose. Oh, dear me. This is like talking to Don about percentages.
He must have been watching the show. He must have seen a clip on YouTube from about a month ago when Don was trying to add up on an abacus his percentages.
What's he doing, Craig?
Well, do you remember when Louis van Gaal came out at United 3 or 4 years ago or so when I think it was Big Sam Allardyce had suggested United play more long balls on his side? After he had said, you know, Allardyce plays long balls, and Allardyce, I think, batted it straight back over the net at him. And then he pitched up at a press conference with all this paperwork and stats, and the press officer looked as if that she wanted to be anywhere else in the world bar sitting there because it was such an embarrassment. Whoever's not said to this guy today, or whenever it was, listen, you're just making yourself look utterly stupid here, because that's all it is. To come out, Do you think fans are interested in listening to that balderdash, that absolute tosh about 25% this and 17% that and 4% chance of winning there? They're looking at the league table saying, look where we are. Yeah. They're looking at the team saying, look at our squad. Yeah. Look at our performances. Look the way Aubameyang's playing. Look at our defending. Look at our manager keeping changing the team every week in the shape. The only percentage I can give you that I think will be accurate, it's 100% correct that if he keeps rolling out guff like this, as well as performances like they had at the weekend, then it will be a sacking for him sooner rather than later. Because that, and by the way, the boys will tell you, the players will be in the dressing room absolutely rolling about laughing at nonsense like this. So you don't gain respect, you lose respect by taking that to the media.
Don, here's the thing. Arteta's been around long enough. I know this is his first main coaching job, but as a player and then as assistant coach, to surely know that going to the press and saying this will only result in ridicule, as opposed to anybody going, oh, you know what? You're in 15th, but it doesn't matter. You're right, because these percentages make sense. Why is he so naive doing this?
I have no idea, Dan. It's desperation. It can only be desperation, because Mikel Arteta is an intelligent man. He knows the game. He knows what he's seeing. And, you know, he's rattling off all these percentages here, there and everywhere. I'll take you back to a game a couple of months ago when they played West Ham Arsenal, and West Ham absolutely battered Arsenal, and Arsenal scored in the last 5-10 minutes of the game and won. He's not taking those percentages into games where they've nicked the win or they've nicked the point here, there and everywhere. His team's in a horrendous run of form. I got asked the question today, are Arsenal in a relegation battle? And I couldn't get my head around it. And I thought, well, of course they're not, because they'll get out of it. But then you look at it and you go, the run that they're on, the position that they're in, manager scratching his head coming out with rubbish, the players have lost confidence, no one seems to be scoring goals, there's no plan anymore. Of course we're in a relegation battle. It's ludicrous, I know, because we're all pretty sure they'll get out of it. But at the same time, he can't keep, as Craig said, he can't keep just rolling out the same players, losing games. Because something will happen, and if it carries on, he'll end up losing his job, which will be a shame, I think.
Frank, I'm second-guessing things here, but you would have a feeling that he would be in the dressing room saying similar things to the players, going, look at the stats, look at the percentage, you know, we should have won that game. How does that come across to players who are on this horrible run? Do they accept any of it?
Of course not. You know, as soon as he would leave the dressing room, people would say, well, where? That guy lives in another planet. You know, we just have to look on how we play and the way we play and the player that he maybe picks who makes the thing that not working. That's the only thing. And as Craig said, everybody would be laughing and say the guy lost completely, you know, the command of the squad. I'm sure Arteta doesn't even believe on what he said. The fans don't buy it, the player neither, and we don't either believe on what he said. So why he did say that? To justify the fact he's 15 in the table, and because he's a coach of Arsenal, he shouldn't be in that position. But just maybe sometimes, just keep on working, be quiet, try to find a solution, but don't comment like that, because you look like a fool.
He's suggesting he played well at Everton on the weekend, Dan. He didn't.
No.
He didn't. I mean, for those that, and I think I said it at the weekend on Saturday on the show, I said, listen, if you think Arsenal come out and had more of the ball in the second half, and you know, in injury time they had a good minute, and that's, I think that's all they had in the game, a good minute. It was more to do with Everton, because as I said at the weekend, Everton under Ancelotti have got a habit of just dropping off, particularly when they're in the lead, and saying, okay, we'll get bodies behind the ball and we'll use Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin on the counter-attack. So that's smoke and mirrors to think they had the odd chance against Everton late on, or they had a bit more of the ball. Listen, I'm surmising here, but having been in dressing rooms, I kind of think I know what's going on here. Is he's got a bunch of yes men alongside him and the coaching staff probably who've said, listen, we're not actually playing that bad, and they've got all these stats out, and they go, oh yeah, we're, look at the stats, you know, look at this and look at that and look at the possession and look at the territory in the game. And somebody suggested to him that he could roll this out and it might take the heat off him. I kind of get the feeling, having been in situations where I've listened to coaches talk, you know, four or five of them amongst each other, that kind of be the nonsense that he might be getting. Now, as Don said, he's clearly not a stupid guy, but to not have filtered any nonsense like this out is just scary. They've got a big game coming up against Manchester City. Yes, it's a cup game. It's the least important thing for them at this moment in time. But the most important thing for them is not to get an embarrassment again. And that will depend on what side one he puts out. But more importantly, what Guardiola decides to do, because this could be a pivotal week. Chelsea at the weekend, rolling out all this guff to the media. Players will be talking about it behind his back. I don't know. This ship is sailing without a sail at the moment, and it's blowing in the wind, and whatever way it goes, nobody knows.
Craig, if you're in charge of that ship, and he is your captain, to carry on your analogy, you've got, as you say, Manchester City, you've got Chelsea, you've got Brighton, you've got West Brom before the FA Cup. You've got four matches. What do you need to see in those four matches to keep the job?
Well, as I think Stevie pointed out at the weekend, it's clearly the problems are fundamentally deeper than Wenger, than Emery, and now a new coach and Arteta. It goes a lot deeper than that with player recruitment and so forth. But as I said on Saturday, Dan, when the pressure gets applied, and there's no fans at the moment, and we know with the new restrictions there won't be any in the foreseeable future, but when fans are maybe waiting outside, or when a pressure's getting applied to a sporting director or a board or ownership, and online social media are hammering all these people, they will look for a scapegoat. Whether we believe Arteta is getting enough time or not, owners, chief execs and sporting directors will look for a scapegoat, because they never want it to be their fault. So if it continues, there is only one scapegoat, and that is the manager. So results would be the answer to your question. Quick results, whether it's ugly, it doesn't matter. Like Chelsea got tonight, a pretty ugly win in the end, but it was job done. If they get some of them without playing great, job done for the time being. But if we're looking at another five or six potentially straight defeats, potentially, oh boy, it's going to be an interesting January.
Don, do we say no wins in four and he's gone?
Yeah, I think so. As long as you're competitive in the Man City game, if you lost it, but you were competitive and you showed a bit of fight and a bit of spirit and some graft and you lost the game, not the end of the world. If you then went into the Chelsea game, you showed the same sort of character and the spirit, you got beat or you drew, not the end of the world. But if you lost against Brighton and lost against West Brom,
yeah,
I honestly can't see how Arteta keeps his job.
Well, if he loses against Chelsea, West Brom and Brighton, Don, the City game could probably go, because it's City and it's the Cup and he'll make changes. And he'll use that as an excuse. But those three league games, Don,
yeah.
If it's three straight defeats and others around them are winning down the bottom, wow, there's a big decision to be made.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a break then as well before Newcastle in the FA Cup and then Crystal Palace in the league. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But of course, you look at their priority at the moment, it is the game against Manchester City. They're at the quarter-final stages now of the Carabao Cup. That is a game on Tuesday alongside Brentford against Newcastle. Wednesday, meanwhile, see Stoke take on Spurs in a Goodison intriguing tie between Everton and Manchester United. And you can catch all of those games on ESPN+.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
It won't be a happy holiday for Marcus Thuram. We, of course, heard earlier in the week that he'll be handed a one-month wage fine by Gladbach. Well, added to that today, the German FA have banned him for 5 games and added €40,000 to the fine as well after he's sent off for spitting at the weekend. Gladbach are 8th in the table. Bayern Munich, meanwhile, this weekend, stretching the lead to 2 points at the top after a 2-1 victory against Bayer Leverkusen. But I want to start with a team that currently sit 5th in the table in Borussia Dortmund as we welcome in Casey Keller and Steve Cherundolo to the show. Steve, Favre goes, they get a win and then they lose. We kind of knew this. It wasn't just about the personnel. So I suppose the question for Borussia Dortmund fans going forward is, does it matter what coach you have to get the best out of the players that are currently within this squad?
Absolutely. I think a coach is extremely important, and I think it's important to match up a coach's qualities in their locker room or on the chalkboard, but as well as his personalities have to go along with the club's philosophy. And so I think that's key moving forward. They need to find a coach that fits this team because it's going to be a lot less expensive in order to go change the entire team and try to find players who will match the perfect coach. So it's really, really important that they get this next decision right.
Who, Steve, if you were in charge, who would you bring in?
Well, I honestly, I think Jesse Marsch would do a fantastic job. I think he has the right mentality. I think he has the right energy levels for a club like Borussia Dortmund. He certainly has the Champions League experience now through his run with Salzburg. He understands how the Bundesliga works with his time at Leipzig. And I think it's a fresh face, and I think that's what this team needs. I think it's a fresh person, a fresh face. And I think he would, knowing Borussia Dortmund very well, having done some shadowing work there last year during my UEFA Pro license, I think he would fit in there like a glove.
Does this fit work for you, Casey?
I probably don't know enough. Steve obviously has a little bit more of the inside track on that. But for me, I think it might be too big too soon for Jesse. I'd like to see him maybe go to a mid-level club, prove himself in the Bundesliga before he then would take over at a Borussia Dortmund. That's why I think you're looking at, or Borussia or Dortmund is looking at Marco Rosa from Gladbach as a possible, even though right now the league form of Gladbach isn't matching the Champions League form. It's going to be a lot of people are going to be putting their applications forward for such a prestigious club. But I think Jesse's an option. Obviously, Marco Rosa is the favorite right now. It'll be interesting to see the direction that Dortmund goes because obviously they're not firing on all cylinders right now. There's something missing, and it's going to be up to a new manager to figure that out.
The one positive from that defeat was, of course, the first goal ever in the Bundesliga for Mokoko, becoming the youngest goal scorer ever in German domestic football, Steve. And we knew he was going to score because we knew all about him, but the quality of the goal was just something else.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's so young, but I have to say, we've seen him do this time and time again. And so you're absolutely right. We knew he was going to score, maybe not in this fashion, but it's a lot of class Mokoko. It's smart running inside the box. It's very goal-oriented, and his finishing is clinical. At that young of an age, to be able to finish that well and not need that many chances, that is extraordinary. And it is the reason why he's already making a statement for himself and getting games in the first team at a massive club like Borussia Dortmund is.
He's what, 16, Casey? He could be your grandson.
My grandson, yes. Thank you. But he was unlucky not to have scored earlier, hit one off the post, and match before he hit one off the post. So really, I mean, he's proving himself. I think the question mark is if you're going to challenge the likes of a Bayern Munich, Bayern Munich is doing it with tried, true, tested FIFA players of the year. You know, not a young 16-year-old. Now, and yes, he's the sky's the limit, but I'm just wondering if it's maybe asking too much of him right now, particularly with the absence of Haaland, and we'll see, you know, how quickly he's able to come back into the new year.
As we mentioned before, Steve, Bayern Munich, top of the table after that victory against Bayer Leverkusen. How many times have we seen this over the history of the Bundesliga over the last 10 years? They go behind, but then they just get hold of the opponent and just make them submit.
Yeah, it's just too much quality on the field. And we've seen it time and time again. And a player like Robert Lewandowski will punish you if you make mistakes in your own half. And this is what Leverkusen unfortunately did twice. You know, they gave up easy passes in their own half and were absolutely capitalized on. And these are just the mistakes, you know, that Bayern Munich love, and they always capitalize on, and they've made a living out of it. These are the differences between, you know, we've touched on it before, between experienced, high-quality sides like Bayern Munich, finished players, as opposed to the likes of Borussia Dortmund.
But it's the depressing thing watching this game, Casey, because as skillful and obviously as well as Bayern Munich did in taking the chances were given to them by Bayer Leverkusen. You just think, look, this is your chance. You know, you're in control of the game. Just don't mess it up. And then obviously they did.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I thought Leverkusen approached the game really well, got that fantastic Patrick Schick goal on that volley off of the corner. And then they were in the ascendancy for most of that first half. They were the better team. And then, you know, kind of a mix up between center back and goalkeeper. And next thing you know, the equalizer comes. And then the second half wasn't a classic affair. And it was almost as if both teams were thinking, well, you know, if we get a goal, great. If we don't, you know, the 1-1's not the end of the world. And then with the second to the last kick of the match, you know, Lewandowski pops up and gets the winner. And you could just see the deflation in Leverkusen and going into now what is an abbreviated winter break for Germany. But you think of how that's going to be on Leverkusen's mind, knowing that they had the opportunity to be top at the break. They threw it away right at the end. And, you know, will they recover? And a lot of people have thought that Leverkusen were maybe overachieving so far in this first half of the season. If they could have gotten a result against Bayern, that would have really lifted the confidence. But instead, as you mentioned, same old story. Bayern find a way, top at Christmas, and now with the return of Kimmich, mm-hmm. Alphonso Davies getting fit, the squad will get stronger. It's really a one-horse race, unfortunately, and I think Bayern is just going to continue to run away with it in the second half of the season.
Away from the Bundesliga this week, we saw Weston McKennie named as American Player of the Year. Casey, you won this thing three times as the player, not just Goalkeeper of the Year.
Yes. Yes. Oh. No, I mean, and congratulations to Weston. I think there was a question mark when he went to Juventus, just how much playing time he was going to get. You know, was that the right move? Obviously, to get out of Schalke was the right move, but to go to Juventus, and he's really gambled on his own ability. And even what, you know, interview with Pirlo this week, just saying that he just continues to impress and get better and better. And he's getting more and more playing time as this first half of the season progressed, chipped in with a couple good goals, and, you know, hats off to him. And he gambled on his own ability. And now it's a matter of just continuing to prove himself with Juve. And then hopefully a great run in the second in the beginning of 2021 as qualifying starts for the U.S. national team.
Would you have voted for him, Steve?
I think so. Yeah, I think there's a case to be made for Christian Pulisic as well. But I think Weston has done fantastic. And I think his improvement not only on the field but also in the locker room and just as a. You know, the young man is considerably improving. So I think he deserves the votes, 44%, I believe. And, you know, congratulations to him. And hopefully this will be one of many.
Steve, when Casey won his awards, did you mind the fact he was going to a goalkeeper?
Well, that doesn't necessarily speak worlds of the rest of us. If the goalkeeper is becoming the three-time player of the year, then some of us out in the field, we're not doing our jobs very well. But no, definitely no hard feelings. Casey was fantastic, and
That's basically what you're saying, Steve. The bar was low and Casey won it. That's fine. That's all right. We can read between the lines.
Boys, thank you very much. Just a reminder, we've got German Cup action for you this week. Tomorrow, Augsburg against Leipzig is doubleheader for you. That's at 12:30. That's on ESPN3, followed by Eintracht Braunschweig, who are taking on Borussia Dortmund. That is at 2 o'clock on ESPN3. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. The ramifications still being felt then after LAFC's surprise 3-1 victory over Club America to book a place in Tuesday's CONCACAF Champions League final against Tigres. Club America fired Miguel Herrera, saying that results and also attitudes on the pitch are not up to the standards of the institution. Three-time US Player of the Year, Casey Keller, is still with us. Zero-time Player of the Year, Hercules Gomez, also joins us. Herc, did this surprise you, this news today?
No, it's not surprising. I think you guys know enough about Miguel Herrera to know this isn't the first time something like this has happened. This isn't even the second time. It's actually three or four times we've seen physical incidents or physical actions of Miguel Herrera come into play. The last time something like this to this magnitude happened, he was coaching the Mexican national team, and it was after Gold Cup right in the Philadelphia airport, where he was in an altercation, a physical altercation with Cristian Martinoli, a Mexican commentator, and that cost him the Mexican national team job. Now, listen, he's been on turbulent waters for quite some time down in Mexico for results and things that have happened. This was just the cherry on top. They could no longer afford, and by the way, he was just giving a brand new contract. He just put pen to paper recently. They could no longer afford to have him as a liability, which is a shame because he's one of the winningest coaches in all of Mexican soccer, one of the winningest coaches in America's rich history. But this is par for the course for Miguel Herrera.
Casey's been linked to a number of MLS clubs. Should they roll the dice? Should they risk it? Should they get him?
Absolutely not. I mean, I think the last thing you really need is to bring that circus into town. You're fighting for legitimacy. And obviously, this is a situation where even Club America has said this can't be accepted. We need to be better than this. And then for all the points that Herc just made of what an actual, you know, obviously he must be a good coach. You don't win that many games if you can't figure those things out. But you can't have the antics both, you know, on the sideline, obviously in airports and in things like that. And it's the last thing MLS needs is to bring something like this into the forefront. And just MLS needs to be more about the quality on the field and less about the circus behind the scenes.
Do you agree, Herc? I feel like Seb would sit here and say that he think it would be a good idea.
I've just spoke to Seb, by the way. It's a massively great idea. He doesn't know why America fired Miguel Herrera. He's upset. He's in tears, let me tell you. I actually am very torn apart with this because I agree with what Casey's saying about the circus and the antics, and do you really want that sort of liability? Who will take on that liability? But Casey also mentioned the quality. in this hemisphere, you'll find a few coaches with that type of quality and who've succeeded in so many different places. He's a very good coach. His players love him. They think the world of him, and they play, and he gets the most out of every single player he's coached. But how much of a liability are you really willing to take on? I mean, oftentimes we see Major League Soccer and we think, well, it's kind of bland. I mean, Zlatan leaves, where's the personality? We don't have these characters. We don't have this color. How much color do you want? How much of a liability do you want? So I'm very torn with this. Part of me says, roll the dice. You could do far worse than Miguel Herrera. But if you're a Major League Soccer club, if you're an ownership group that has billion-dollar corporations, NFL ownership, or whatever it may be, do you really want this type of figure being the face of your organization? It's a toss-up for me.
Away from Club America, let's focus, shall we, on the final as it stands as we go to air. Etwes not available for it. He is suspended. If I was to give you the power of CONCACAF, would you lift that suspension?
Absolutely. And I will suspend Memo Ochoa even more. We got to get rid of these type of actions. I know what people are going to say. What about Carlos Vela taking a dive versus Cruz Azul? There are different levels of embellishment. Carlos Vela isn't trying to physically injure or isn't trying to kick out an opponent. If I had the power after the video that I just saw, the video that many of you will see, yes, Edward Atuesta should be made available, to LAFC, and we should have this great final. Knowing them, I don't know. But if I were to do it, yes, he should play.
Casey, what did you make of this game overall?
Look, I want to give LAFC a ton of credit. Obviously, going a goal down and then being able to come out of halftime and get a couple quick goals and then hang on and then obviously after it was level playing field to get that late goal to seal it from Latif Blessing. But you know, I want the antics to leave, and I think the problem that CONCACAF has right now is there's no mechanism in place to be able to retroactively watch a game and say, okay, the referee missed this one, but this is wrong, and we need to get rid of this type of situations. And look, we talked about, you know, the huge Marcus Thuram suspension from the DFB and the Bundesliga. CONCACAF has nothing in place to be able to watch a game and to have a mechanism in place for LAFC to even appeal the red card. So, yes, I agree with Herc that I'd love to see Atuesta be able to play the final, but you can't change the rules in the middle of a competition. And it just, again, shows you how far behind CONCACAF are in these types of situations, and they need to address this immediately, and they need to move forward in finding solutions.
Obviously, there's a much more ruder way of talking about the antics, but unfortunately, we can't talk about it because I'll get in trouble. What did you make of it overall? Did they cross a line?
Yeah, they crossed the line. It was embarrassing. I think social media should never be a bar for anything. But if you were on social media during this game, I think both sides were embarrassed with what was going on. These are things that we need to get rid of. You've watched, one has played in a different culture. And if we took this game, showcased it around the world, CONCACAF would be a laughingstock around the world for the football that we showed on both sides. The way that players were provoked and the way they reacted, it was not indicative of what this region really can showcase. But quite frankly and quite sadly, it is a great example of what CONCACAF has been over the years here. And when I was watching this game, I kept thinking, oh man, these MLS teams keep falling into these traps. Oh man, this keeps happening. And it's not just, I guess, inclusive to Major League Soccer teams falling into this trap or Mexican teams doing it. It's all of CONCACAF where this is prevalent. It's something that we need to get rid of.
The final then on Tuesday, according to the SPI, Tigres are favorites, 59% to 41%. Casey, I'm gonna ask you a question. You might not be able to answer it, but with your Sounders hat on, and if we were to do a poll of Sounders supporters, would they want LAFC to win?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think so, because I think MLS wants to represent itself well against Liga MX, and it's not. Now, if it was the Timbers in the final, maybe that's a different answer. But I think LAFC, I think they'd like to see CONCACAF win this tournament, and it couldn't be a better opportunity. You're at a neutral site. You're in a bubble. It's not a home and away. You know, you don't have to go on the road and deal with some of the circumstances that sometimes you have to deal on the road with fire alarms in your hotel going off all night and things like that. So I think it's a huge opportunity, and LAFC has already taken out three Mexican sides in a row. Why not make it four?
Who's going to win, Huck?
Man, this is such a toss-up, but if Atuesta's not playing, I have to give the edge to Tigres. They were my pick from the beginning. They've got just a better roster overall. And you talked about whether the Seattle fans would cheer for LAFC. I could tell you something. The Galaxy fans won't be cheering for LAFC, like the Monterrey fans won't be cheering for Tigres. That's the way it is in these rivalry type of settings. You can have the league behind you as much as you want, and it could be Liga MX versus MLS. It could be USA versus Mexico, everything you want. But when the team that's representing your league isn't your team, it's your rivals, all bets go out the window. I know the majority of Galaxy fans are hoping the LAFC does not win. As far as if they will win, they've got all the momentum. Carlos Vela seems like a man possessed, but André Pierre Gignac is probably one of the better players I've seen in North America, one of the better players I've seen in Liga MX. And I think they've just got the better team. So if you're asking me which way I'm going to put my money on, it's with Tigres.
Does it teach us anything if LAFC do win, Huck?
Absolutely. It teaches you a lot. It teaches you that there are correct ways to do things in Major League Soccer. And it also teaches you that something that's very simple. I keep hearing money doesn't win you championships, but in Major League Soccer with a salary cap, the teams that are willing to invest, willing to bring in that talent, oftentimes find themselves in this position. A few years ago, it was Toronto FC, and those multi-millions that they invested in Jovinko and Vasquez and Brady and Bradley and Josie. When you have more talent, it's because you could spend on said talent. So yes, this does teach us something. Money isn't everything, but it can sure do some damage in this type of competition.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. LAFC then the fourth team from MLS to make it through to a final in this championship, in this format. They, of course, are looking to be the first one to win it.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Also in action tomorrow, Juventus taking on Fiorentina. That game live on ESPN+. You can check that out at 2:40. A couple of big games in Spain as well. Atleti taking on Real Sociedad. And it's also Valladolid against Barcelona. Well, as we leave you, just a confirmation that CONCACAF have upheld the suspension of Atuesta. He will not be available for tomorrow's final. That is it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. It's quite the extra time, I promise you. Be sure to stay tuned. Don, Frank and Craig answering your questions. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Don, Frank and Craig with us to answer your questions. Will you guys be broadcasting on Christmas Day? Dan Smile is just as good for me than my 4-year-old, 2-year-old and 5-month-old son. I believe, producer, we're recording on Christmas Eve. Yeah, which will then go out on Christmas Day. So that's something to look forward to.
So you're bringing a change of clothes to make it look as if you're...
I don't even know if we do that anymore, do we?
No, we just give up. Just we bosh it out.
There you go. People don't mind. If Manchester United wins this year's Premier League, Craig, will all the experts resign from ESPN? Please answer this question.
Well, that's a simple no. you
don't, because, of course not.
You know, I mean, go on any channel around the world, and any pundit worth of salt who picked Man United to win the league, I'll be lucky if you could pick one out. So I don't think anybody would have had Man United down to win the league. So and by the way, it's not going to happen. So we don't need to resign. We don't resign for making a mistake. We don't resign for getting a prediction wrong. It's not how it works.
Obviously, on yesterday's show, I asked the boys, and I may as well ask you as well, Craig, because I'm just going to enjoy the answer.
Oh, yeah.
Do you owe Ole Gunnar Solskjaer an apology?
Well, you know, we touched on this on the our own show we've just recorded today. And as I said, as I was gearing up to come on today, I thought he's had 24 hours to mull over one of the stupidest questions. And this is a high bar. This is a high bar because you've asked many, many stupid questions over the years. This Ole Gunnar Solskjaer one is potentially one of the worst, because we're only 13 games in if you're Man United. And so by the time we get to the end of the season, you know, who's to say Man United won't be in fifth or sixth or seventh? Who knows? So why would anyone say they've got the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer wrong 13 games in, off the back of beating a team that was just promoted from the Championship? Utter nonsense.
Quite a mild answer. I was expecting more abuse, to be honest. For Don, Juventus and AC Milan are only the two teams who are unbeaten this season. Who will win Serie A, Milan or Juve?
Oof. Oh, probably neither. Inter.
You can give the same answer as Craig, you know, it's too early.
No, Inter.
No, Inter, Don.
Inter have got more chance than Milan winning it. I know Milan are sitting top, are in good form, but Conte will find a win. And then it's just a case of Juve doing what they normally do. They, you know, they don't play great football, they get the job done, they'll find a way of getting back to the top of the league again, they'll probably nick it, but...
Right, so in this answer, Don, you've said Inter... because of Conte, and Juve will grind it out and get it done.
No, I said Juve could grind it out like they normally do and win. Could. If you're asking me for a prediction, I'm saying neither Juve or neither AC Milan. I'm going Inter.
Frank, have you ever made any last-ditch super tackle where you're in like a 4v1 or a 3v1 situation like Kimbembe did against Lille yesterday? That was some challenge.
I don't think so. I think what I saw yesterday is absolutely fantastic. It was 4 against 1. He got injured, pulled his hamstring, kept on running for 5 yards and made it maybe the nicest tackle I ever seen in my life. Because he was such in danger. He had already a yellow card. He could have gotten a red one, but made the perfect tackle. No, I don't remember, and I never seen somebody in that position getting injured, keeping on running, tackling that way and being successful. I mean, hat off Mr. Kimpembe, because that was a challenge.
From success to failure, for Don, why do you think the West Ham side you were on got relegated considering the talent that was on the squad? Also, do you think that was a better team than the current Arsenal team?
Was our team, yes, it was better than the current Arsenal side without a doubt. And we went down with a record 42 points, which will never ever happen ever again. And I've no idea why, because our team was full of internationals, quality all over the pitch. The season before, we finished 7th with exactly the same squad, same manager. And then for whatever reason, we were just too off the cuff, maybe too flamboyant, end up going down. It was ridiculous.
And some were saying you were too big time, Don, within that squad.
Yeah. Billy Big Potatoes.
Yeah, that's what we heard, Don, yeah.
Oh yeah, I was the one that was big time. We had Di Canio, Canute, Joe Cole.
Nah. When you use the flamboyant adjective, it's because you're big time. That's the only way to explain.
Dan, I've just realised. Can we say belated congratulations?
Oh, who would you like to congratulate, Craig?
Manchester United for winning the league.
All right, we go back there.
No, so it's over, is it not? I mean, are these people that tweet in these absurdities? These idiots that tweet in about managers and success 13 games in? I mean, am I missing something here?
Well, I suppose you were very much doom and gloom. You said Solskjaer's the wrong man, it's going to be a disaster, but he's within touching distance of the top spot, as opposed to Frank Lampard, who you've lauded, and Arteta, you haven't been that nasty to.
Frank Lampard isn't within touching distance.
No, not like Manchester United are.
Oh, go and sit with all those Muppets that tweet in here these stupid questions.
So are you telling me that for you, Chelsea will finish higher than Manchester United?
I think it'll be Liverpool and City. And it's a close run thing between those two.
So that's good for Solskjaer, isn't it? You can't
well, finishing. Well, hold on a minute. What's good for Man United continually finishing below Liverpool and City, if indeed that's what happens? Tell me. I'm intrigued by this club historically pushing for success and success and dominating Europe and England, and all of a sudden it's, well, let's third and fourth. That's going to be great.
So is that good enough for Chelsea? Chelsea have had success, obviously, as well recently.
Chelsea had a transfer ban and have only just got some new players this summer.
Oh, I see. Right.
Frank, I'm pretty sure, Frank, Craig was tipping Tottenham last week.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, don't start that again.
No, it wasn't.
I don't want to start that again. You know? I mean, we talked about it. You're a Liverpool fan,
I'm just looking at my watch, and it says I've just got in touch with the Houston Tower, and it said 4 minutes left before your Liverpool goggles steam up. All right.
Right. Frank, off the back of yesterday's. What's on your sleeves, Don?
Huh?
What's on your sleeves?
Just a couple of little sort of...
Oh. Do you know what that is? That's his Captain Obvious shirt he's got on.
I just thought it matched
it. It looks like a captain's armband that slipped down.
I just thought it matched the caps behind me.
Listen, if he takes that off, he's got his top says Curtis Jones.
Right, Frank.
It's amazing how a team beats a couple of results, and all of a sudden Solskjaer goes from being like and now he's going to be the greatest. It's quite amazing how fickle people are, isn't it?
People are saying that he's already exceeded Sir Alex when it comes to expectations, I think.
Oh my God,
Frank, off the back of your rant yesterday. Would you rather make a prediction before Boxing Day or score a Panenka?
I'd rather go for a prediction after or before Boxing Day.
Because you respect other humans.
Because I will never... Yes, I respect goalkeepers, and I will never do that to a goalkeeper. I scored 50 penalties. I never tried once to do that. Because I think it's only disrespectful.
Oh. Craig, you used to take penalties. Would you consider a Panenka disrespectful?
No. I didn't care unless as long as it went in the back of the net. I didn't care how it got in there, to be honest with you. But I never tried it.
Don, try it. As we all know, you're a super mathematician.
Here we go.
What percentage chance would you give Arsenal to finish in the top 10?
Top 10. God, I don't know. 15%?
Oh, Don, 15%.
Yeah, if you had said top four, top six, zero.
So you're saying, Don, there's a 90% chance they won't?
No idea.
85%.
85% chance that they won't finish in the top 10, Don.
Something like that, mate, yeah. We've got no chance of finishing the top six. That's what I'm giving
you. And we're talking
about zero. Top 10. Well, I don't know. How do I know?
Aren't you some sort of pundit, expert?
15?
Well, what is it? It's not expertise, it's prediction. We're not there to give prediction. We have to give our expertise about the game we see, about what we
start,
think.
Don't start, Frank, with your Boxing Day
nonsense.
It's
becoming a prediction show where we have to guess the future.
It's not guessing the future, it's giving some insight on what you've seen over the last 14 matches. What percent...
You know, you've been leading that show for years. You know how football can be complicated and how hard it is to just... You know why? If I was so good at it, I will bet every week, you know, for the Premier League. Yep. And I will be a billionaire.
Well, there you go.
After all. But I'm not. Because I'm wrong many times.
God, Frank.
Because football is unpredictable. It's why we love
Frank,
football.
Frank, you're a bit grumpy
today.
What's wrong? You're grumpy.
I preferred this show when we used to get viewer mail sent in. Remember we used to get viewer mail sent in?
Well, isn't this exactly what this is?
No, this is social media. We used to get it. It used to come via carrier pigeon. It made a lot more sense back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the old pen and paper.
Well, the trouble is, there's too many buffoons out there now.
Right.
And as I say, we've got a filtering issue within our filtering department.
No, this is a good question. This is fine.
What one?
It's not a good question, is it?
What? No, I'm not having a go at this question. I'm generalising.
Final question. Frank, between an American accent, a Scottish accent, and a British accent, which is the most difficult to understand?
That's a good question, for once, you know. It's not about prediction. So, American, wrong, English,
yeah,
or
it should
Scottish?
Be English accent as opposed to British accent.
British would include Scottish.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Well, the Scottish accent, and I'm sorry, Craig, because I understand you very well, but Scottish accent is the most difficult accent for me to.
What about Stevie? Do you understand Stevie very well, Frank?
No, Stevie, it's harder to understand Stevie than you.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
You see, when you're out with Stevie and he talks to people, they have no idea what you're saying, do they, Craig?
Yeah.
Probably for the best.
I mean, he does talk to some strange people, but whenever I'm not
Maybe Stevie
golf
doesn't even understand what he says.
Yeah, whenever some of the other guys play golf with him, and they'll come up to me the next week and I'll say, "How was Stevie?" And they'll say, "Yeah, it was great fun." But we'd no clue what he was saying. So they're all just sort of smiling at him and going, they're all at the end. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Don is perfect. Don is perfect, accent wise.
Yeah. That's it, we're done, Craig. We've reached your time. That's it. You're off.
Oh yeah.
That's it. Get out.
I've got another show to do, one that's talking a lot more common sense than this.
Oh, well, enjoy that.
They don't just go, "Oh, you're wrong about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He's had a couple of good results. They're going to be champions of England this year." I think not. Goodbye.
That's it. Bye. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you very much. More stupid predictions on tomorrow's show. Be sure to join us then. God, Frank's moody today. I don't know what is wrong with him. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Be sure to join us.